Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, January 19th, Pope Francis prays for the people in the Pacific nation of Tonga affected by a devastating volcanic eruption and tsunami wave. The Pope sends financial aid to Filipinos suffering from last month's deadly typhoon. And Myanmar's military carries out airstrikes on Christians in a camp for internally displaced people. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis today expressed his spiritual closeness to the people of the Pacific Island nation of Tonga. He prayed for those affected by Saturday's eruption of an underwater volcano, which released a tsunami that washed away many homes and buildings on the island. Lisa Zingarini has the details.
During the general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis turned his thoughts to the inhabitants of the Tonga Islands, who have been hit by a devastating tsunami set off by the eruption of the Hunga Tonga Tonga Hapai volcano. The Holy Father expressed his closeness to the people of the Pacific nation, pleading with God to relieve their suffering.
Sono spiritualmente vicino a tutte le persone provate.
I am spiritually close to all those who are sorely tried, and I implore from God relief in their suffering, said the Pope. He then called on everyone to join in prayer for these brothers and sisters. The massive underwater eruption started on January 15, causing tsunami waves which reached as far away as the American coasts. Three deaths have been reported so far, and a large number of houses have been damaged or destroyed by the tsunami. Many parts of Tonga are covered by a thick layer of ash and are experiencing a near-total blackout of power and communications. Local authorities have already reported that some water sources have been contaminated by the ash, which can contain heavy metals like arsenic and cadmium. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Staying with the story, Damaris Vent is the Pacific Humanitarian Coordinator for Caritas Australia. She spoke to Lydia O'Kane about the impact of the tsunami on the island of Tonga.
So currently we are conducting several assessments, which is very, very difficult because of the communication breakdown. So what has happened is that the main cable to the island has been destroyed or affected by the volcano. And basically because of that, all communication has broken down, literally. So any internet, any phone communication. And so the only communication we can establish is via satellite phone and several surveillance flights that have happened through Australia and New Zealand to get some kind of information at this stage. So currently there is significant damage. So the volcano broke out and really sent up to 20 kilometers of ashes and steam and gas into the air. And the eruption triggered obviously a tsunami of about 1.5 meter and hit the main island of Tonga, and then the tidal wave flooded obviously the coast of roads and properties. The death count at the moment, but as I mentioned, there's still assessments going on and currently it stands at 3. However, because of the massive infrastructure impact, it is estimated that 80% of the population is really affected by it. Currently, the biggest impact is actually the ash fall. So what happened is that the capital is actually really covered in 2 centimeters of ash. And one of the main impacts we are really concerned about is really the drinking water. So what I'm saying is that because of the ash fall and the salt water, the contamination is very, very high, and pretty much the entire population relies on rainwater and groundwater reserves for drinking water and for their crops.
Thanks there to Damaris Fent, the Pacific Humanitarian Coordinator for Caritas Australia. The Vatican announced today that Pope Francis has sent aid to people in the Philippines and to migrants stranded between Poland and Belarus. The Pope's financial donation will help Filipinos affected by Typhoon Rai, which struck in late December. Francesca Merlo has the story.
A statement released by the Vatican's Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development on Wednesday says Pope Francis is sending aid to victims of a typhoon in the Philippines, as well as to migrants who are stranded on the border between Poland and Belarus. The statement notes that following Typhoon Rai, which hit the Philippines with extraordinary vehemence, Pope Francis has decided to send an initial contribution of 100,000 euros for the relief of the population. In the Philippines, according to UN sources, around 8 million people have been affected throughout 11 regions, and the typhoon has caused extensive material damage. The statement goes on to explain that in collaboration with the Apostolic Nunciature in the Philippines, this sum will be sent to the local church and destined for the dioceses most affected by the disaster to be used in works of assistance. The dicastery notes that this is intended to be an immediate expression of the Holy Father's feeling of spiritual closeness and paternal encouragement towards the people and territories affected. This contribution, which accompanies prayers in support of the beloved Filipino population, is part of the aid that is being activated throughout the Catholic Church and which involves, in addition to various episcopal conferences, numerous charitable organizations. The statement then notes that the Holy Father has also decided to send a contribution of 100,000 euros in favor of the groups of migrants stranded between Poland and Belarus and in aid of Caritas Polska to deal with the migration emergency on the border between the two countries. Thousands of people, mostly from Iraq, Syria and Yemen, are trapped at Belarus's border with Poland enduring freezing conditions in the hope of crossing into the EU. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Pope Francis today continued his catechesis on St. Joseph at the weekly general audience. The Pope looked at his role as a loving father to Jesus and said Joseph offers a reflection of God's tenderness, which allows us to feel welcomed in all our weaknesses. Thaddeus Jones has more.
Meeting with pilgrims in the Paul VI Audience Hall, Pope Francis explored the role of St. Joseph as a father in tenderness, recognizing that the Gospels do not offer details on how he exercised his paternity. The Pope said we can be sure that St. Joseph, being a just man, translated it into the education he gave to Jesus and the loving care he showed him. The Pope recalled how the Gospels attest that Jesus always used the word Father to speak of God and his love.
Molte parabole hanno come protagonista la figura di un padre.
As an example, he also spoke of the parable of the prodigal son that not only recounts the experience of sin and forgiveness, but also the way the merciful father forgives his son, not through punishment, but a loving embrace. The Pope said tenderness is something greater than the logic of the world. It's an unexpected way of doing justice. And he said this is why we must never forget that God is not frightened by our sins or mistakes, but he's more frightened by the closure of our hearts, by our lack of faith in his love. The Pope added that it's so important to encounter God's mercy, especially in the sacrament of reconciliation, where we experience his truth and tenderness. We know that God's truth does not condemn, but instead welcomes, embraces, sustains, and forgives us.
Senza questa rivoluzione della tenerezza,
the Pope said we need a revolution of tenderness, calling for a justice system that does not confuse redemption with punishment. And for this reason, he called to mind those in prison, recalling that it's right that they should pay for their crimes, but it's even more right that those who have done wrong should be able to redeem themselves from their mistakes. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
The Church this weekend marks the third commemoration of the Sunday of the Word of God. Pope Francis is set to preside over the liturgical celebration for the event in St. Peter's Basilica. As explained by the Pontifical Council for Promoting the New Evangelization, this year's liturgy includes some important new changes. Linda Bordoni reports.
The Sunday of the Word of God is observed annually on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time after Christmas, ever since Pope Francis established this celebration on the 30th of September 2019 to remind Catholics of the importance of knowing Scripture. As highlighted by the Pontifical Council for Promoting the New Evangelization, during the upcoming ceremony, there will be some very significant moments. For the first time during the liturgy, the ministry of lector will be conferred on both lay men and women in a stable and institutionalized form through a special mandate. Previously, ministries were reserved only to men because they were considered preparatory to receiving holy orders. But a statement from the Council explains that the well-established practice has confirmed that lay ministries, founded on the sacrament of baptism, can be entrusted to all the faithful who are suitable, whether male or female. Also during the celebration, the Pope will confer the newly established ministry of catechist on several members of the lay faithful, both women and men. Before the homily, they will be called by name and presented to the church. After the homily, the lectors are given the Bible, the word of God that they are called to proclaim. Catechists, on the other hand, are entrusted with the cross to recall the missionary character of the service they are about to administer. I'm Linda Bordoni.
In other news, reports from Myanmar allege that the Tatmadaw army has conducted air raids on refugee camps in the forests around Loikaw, the state capital of Kaya. The victims are all Catholics who have been displaced by attacks on their home villages, as Robin Gomes reports.
A local Catholic Church source in Myanmar told the Vatican's Fides news agency that these people had earlier been displaced from their villages and from Kaya state capital Loikaw, which is now deserted, during clashes between the army and the People's Defense Forces, PDF. Among the displaced in Kaya are many Catholics who have abandoned their homes and parishes to take refuge in the forests. The 17th January air raids by the military in the densely populated jungles killed two sisters and a 50-year-old man. Seven others wounded needed care. They had earlier fled from the nearby village of Moso, where the charred bodies of at least 35 Catholics were found on December the 24th in what is described as the Christmas massacre. On Tuesday, the Catholic community gathered in the jungle where Father Jacob Kuhn led a simple funeral rite, dedicating brief words to the memory of the victims and inviting those gathered there to hope and prayer. The widening conflict, particularly in predominantly Christian regions inhabited by the Kachin, Chin, Karen, and Kaya ethnic groups, had resulted in churches being shelled and raided by air. Churches that are turning into shelters for the displaced are being targeted by the army, and priests and pastors are being arrested, while many unarmed civilians, including Christians, have been killed. Last week, the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Myanmar urged all parties to the conflict to provide safe humanitarian corridors for relief operations, stop targeting civilians, and respect the integrity of churches, hospitals, and schools. Human dignity and the right to life should never be compromised, the country's bishop wrote. I am Robin Gomes.
In Colombia, a former captive of the FARC has launched a last-minute bid for the presidency in elections set for May 29th. As James Blears reports, Ingrid Betancourt was abducted and held for 6 years by the former rebel group.
Ingrid Betancourt's presidential impetus comes almost 2 decades after she, as an ex-congresswoman, was abducted at gunpoint in 2002 by the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia and held hostage in the wilderness while campaigning for the presidency. They signed a peace accord and have evolved into a political party. She herself hasn't gone away. As chief of the Oxygen Green Party, Ingrid Betancourt declares she'll be trying with all of her might to lead a center coalition for the top job, and if she can win the nomination nod, she'll contest the first round race on November the 29th. She started late on the campaign quest trail, but she plans to rapidly make up political ground. She's boldly stating, "I'm here now to claim the rights of 51 million Colombians who don't possess justice in a system fashioned and designed to reward criminals." During this past year, 145 activists and indigenous leaders have been murdered nationwide by disparate and desperate gangs. It's a daunting challenge for Colombia's democracy, striving for its very democratic future. For Vatican Radio, James Blizz reporting.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.